What is Beyond Zero Emissions and what are its aims?
We're a climate solutions think tank, and our vision is for a zero emissions Australia, and our aim is to demonstrate through independent research that zero emissions across all sectors of the Australian economy is achievable and affordable and will have many benefits for Australians.
Your targets are a lot tighter than those various governments are proposing, aren't they? Why is that?
Well, we accept the science, and all of our research is in line with the science. So that's really driving why we choose a 10-year target to get to zero emissions. It's the science that drives us. But my colleague Imogen's been doing a lot of work around why 10 years of the community. I think you've also got some really important insights around why 10 years, Imogen.
Yeah, so it comes down to the climate science is directing that we really need to make this change rapidly. International agreements to get to 1.5 degrees or at least 2 degrees determine that this change needs to happen fast, particularly in the developed world and with places like Australia that have resources to change. Setting an ambitious target motivates people. Setting a target that's within people's time frame of personal understanding. Like I was telling the story before today that if you talk to a toddler about their birthday being one day, 1 week, or 1 year away, it doesn't really make much difference because their sense of time doesn't account for those differences. And I think for adults it's a similar story, except if you're talking a generation away, people don't understand themselves in that time frame, but they do understand themselves in 10 years. And so setting a 10-year target makes it a job that they see as their job to achieve. It also, because there's so many benefits to communities who want to take this challenge on, and moving fast will mean that you'll get the investment first, you'll get all the energy savings first, and you'll be able to drive community leadership, and that's really great for people and setting the scene and building community empowerment and community democracy.
So what if a community wants to engage in this sort of process, where do they start?
Well, probably a good place to start is looking at the guide, which we've just released today. It sort of sets out a 9-step process for people to work through. The first of that is community engagement. So talking to people in the community about the vision, talking to them about what is achievable, talking to them about what they want, talking to them about getting involved in the process and getting everyone on board, really.
So you've kicked off the community process in a number of communities locally. What sort of people took up the offer?
A real diverse mix, actually. So the sort of framework for this guide is that it will be most successful if community groups partner with councils to set a common target. So there are many, many councils who have council-specific zero emissions targets, but the community more broadly might not have that goal. And so getting them to partner together so that they're supporting each other in that work is a really key step. So council's obviously important. Community people who've risen to the challenge have varied from people in sustainability or climate action groups or environmentalists to people with keen business interests. So, for example, insulation companies or energy efficiency companies are really interested in seeing this change. Businesses who operate in the communities who want to reduce their energy costs and build reputation and clientele. And then mayors and councillors and council workers as well.
Vanessa, what are the areas in which people can work? How, because carbon emissions or decarbonising, it seems like a big thing. Are there specific things that people can focus on in their community, specific areas that are perhaps easy for them to start with?
I think our Energy Freedom Home is a really great place to start. So we put out a buildings plan a few years ago that was a really comprehensive strategy for cutting the emissions of existing housing stock by half and new commercial and residential to be zero. But then we also wrote that into a plain English version for householders that really steps you through how you can liberate yourself from fossil fuels in your own home and liberate yourself from bills. And if you are a house owner, I think that's a really good opportunity to take action and benefit yourself by ultimately reducing your bills. But that's a really powerful thing that you can do to contribute to cutting emissions.
And for those who are renters out there, there's starting to be programs where landlords and renters can combine forces on these issues where they both get benefits out of the arrangement. Mm.
One of my bugbears is, you know, when I expend carbon by driving from the city to my remote home in the outer suburbs, I go past all these suburbs which are crammed full of houses almost on top of each other, none of them with solar panels. What is wrong with our processes that we are allowing houses to be built in such huge numbers with no consideration as to their energy footprint?
It's a really good question. I mean, I think it really highlights just where on different ends of the leadership scale, I guess, communities and government can be. I think, you know, it's really, really important to have a look at the role of the planning system and look at how the planning system could possibly do more to drive this. I had a really interesting conversation actually a couple of weeks ago with a colleague who works within government, and their take on, you know, mentioned with solar and PVs on people's roofs that it's really great people are doing it, but it's really inefficient use of, you know, the grid and the infrastructure. And I think, you know, my take on that is, if it wasn't for the communities, you know, you do see houses that do have the panels on the roof, if it wasn't for those households actually being leaders, choosing to do it, putting them on their roofs and starting to disrupt the energy and the electricity system in Australia in the market, then governments perhaps wouldn't then start to think, do I need to tackle it on a bigger scale? So I think communities need to keep going, the ones that can and are empowered to keep going and do things that you can at home will help drive it. But I think now is a really good time for governments to look at the systems they have, that they can really help support that and grow. And I think the Victorian government is doing a really great job with a lot of leadership, and a lot of councils are too, in supporting households to do those, put PVs and do those things around their home. But there's scope for so much more.
It seems a lot of state governments have realised that increasing PV ownership is reducing the overall load on the grid and thus benefiting all the users of the grid. Do you find that governments of various levels have started to pick up on the fact that the community is serious about climate change and wants changes? Are they starting to pay more attention to the various reports BZE's put out?
Definitely, yes. A couple of weeks ago, CSIRO put out a report, and, you know, they'd referenced the stationary energy plan. So we still do see a lot of the people now that are modelling, you know, how to get to zero, drawing on our early work, and that's great for us. That's exactly what we want to do. We want to get that and, you know, bring the knowledge together initially, pool it, and then other people can build on our work. And two, with our, I mean, we run our engagement programs in Melbourne. We have a monthly discussion group where we have an expert come, and, you know, we fill an entire room of about 100 or so people listening, and our radio shows too, where we also bring the most relevant up-to-date expertise through our guests, and, you know, that they're really popular. So I think that's a way that we're also continuing to help and get, you know, the most latest knowledge out into the community of researchers and government as well.
We often think that, you know, governments instigate change and that trickles down into the community at other levels, but in regard to climate change action, it seems to be turning that on its head a bit. It seems to be going the other way. And so do you think that the sorts of actions that you're helping to catalyse in communities are a kind of a signal to government that they need to take notice and take action as a result?
Yes, and we see it can be a really positive signal for leading local governments and for leading state governments, who will embrace that as a signal, and then they'll then use that to energise their own leadership in the area. There are so many good things happening at those two levels. What we really need to crack, of course, as we all know, we need the federal government to step up and embrace the energy that the communities are offering them as well in being those leaders.
And I think working at a local scale is a different approach to engaging federal governments too, because every member's seated in their local space and they'll see that change happening.
Mm-hmm. What about the role of industry within communities? How involved have you found that businesses and industry have become?
I think industries are looking at it just out of a pure question of self-interest. Many industries are suffering from increased energy costs, and so immediately looking at efficiency is going to be a really rewarding thing for them to do. So that's got benefits for everyone. And I think a lot of industries are looking to be leaders in this space as well, because it gives them a lot of benefits, both socially and financially.
You made an interesting comment in the session before you launched the report. You noted that there's a different attitude between communities and local government. Local government sees a problem and tends to focus on the problem, whereas BZE, for example, said, well, let's focus on the solutions and not worry about the immediate problem, but how to get to where we want to get going. Do you think local government's starting to learn from taking the broader view?
Definitely, and probably just to qualify a bit, talking more at the state government level, I actually think local governments are really great at leading. If you look at something like, you take for example, for granted, your recycling, well, local government with community made that happen. City of Moreland, I think, had the first recycling system, and that, you know, and now it's just commonplace, you know, obviously nationally. But I think, yeah, so state governments, federal government, they're very rational, economic, need to be economically rational, and there's a very structured way about how they make decisions. And, you know, the science of policy development is you start with the problem. You need to really define the problem. And that is, of course, important. But from my own experience, I've seen that, you know, you get really caught up in a loop of just talking about the problem and admiring the problem. And, you know, my own experience, you've had to sometimes go to great lengths to really battle it out and prove that there's a problem before you then get the tick, get on with the job of creating policy. And the communities just don't have that. They don't need to do that. They can just really get on with the task of imagining the future that they want to see, and then rolling up their sleeves and working out how to get there. And that's, you know, it's of course what BZE has done with our Zero Carbon Australia work. And I mean, I think, you know, you talked before about what can we do to, you know, really accelerate when you drive home. You want to see those PVs everywhere. It's really where one approach desperately needs the other. And I've worked with a lot of fabulous colleagues in state government that's really valued the community contribution, and they've been really clever in collaborating with the community, and great policy and things have happened. But of course, there's many, many people out there still operating on the DAD method, which is decide, announce and defend. And that's just a really old fashioned way of making decisions and running government.
Give me maybe just one or maybe two really good examples of what you're talking about in terms of community action in response to the sort of plan that you've got here.
Well, I think if you take a look at the Zero Carbon Communities Guide that we've just published, there's a range of different examples from communities in there across the country. So, for example, in Denmark, Western Australia, there's a community who have reduced their energy consumption by up to 14%, particularly at peak load demand because they were at the end of their grid and experiencing blackouts. So as a community response, they really looked at how they could modify their energy management and have done so really successfully, and have also installed a community-owned wind farm, which is driving up to $20,000 of investment back into community projects each year, I understand. There's also Urella in New South Wales, which is looking at stationary energy and getting to stationary energy emissions, zero emissions within 10 years. And they're again looking at an energy efficiency project, and they're one of the leaders in this rental landlord space. So they've just started rolling out a project to enable landlords to install solar where the benefits flow both to their renter and to the landlord. And there's also communities such as Byron Bay, which have the most ambitious targets in Australia and perhaps the world, trying to get to all sectors of zero emission within 10 years. And they're doing a lot of great community energy projects as well, and driving community capacity to make those decisions and set that vision. And they've just announced a solar train that will go from one of the resorts in Byron into the town to help reduce transport issues within the community. So there are many, many examples of great community initiatives out there, far more than I can keep track of. So sorry to all the communities we didn't mention. There are lots and lots of initiatives going on.
We'll get some phone calls now. And how can people find out more if they're interested in becoming involved in their local community? How can they access your guide, and how can they find out how to start and what to do?
So have a look at our website. The guide's available on the Zero Carbon Communities page, which is on the Our Work tab. And also on the publications page.
Yeah, and our website is www.bze.org.au.
Well done. Thank you, Vanessa and Imogen.